Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being with me today for another episode of Perspectives on Healthcare. My guest today is Dr. Ben Benham. He is the founder and chief medical officer of Happy Head. He is a dermatologist based out in LA in California. He is a member of Generation X. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Sure. So I am a board certified dermatologist. I grew up in LA and went to school basically at UCLA and UC Irvine for med school and residency. I started practicing around 2008 and we set up a clinic that focuses on dermatology as well as hair. And over the past decade, you know, we've seen just a lot of changes in hair. More importantly, about a decade ago, you would never see any females talk about hair loss. But now that taboo is slowly going away, which is great. So we see a lot of male and females basically coming in. And we've really tried to push the envelope of just hair restoration. Basically, we've tried to create and develop products and systems that makes it much more easier for patients to access healthcare and basically get the product that they need for the hair loss.
Okay, so you're primarily doing hair stuff. LA seems like the right place to do that because LA is the center of everything appearance related. Is that Yes. Is that what you're finding?
That is correct. Well, I do like I do medical dermatology, but I do a lot of hair as well and cosmetics. So in LA, look, you want to look your best. If there's one place you want to look your best, it's LA. You know, sometimes I think people overdo it with the lip fillers and the Botox. But, you know, the hair, you know, it's one of those things that look, you know, with the social media and Instagram and Facebook, people take photos 10 times a day. The hair is a very important aspect of their life. And I'm telling you, more people put emphasis on the hair than they do on their lip fillers, you know? So it's one of those important things, and that's what we focus on.
Sure. Okay, so what does quality healthcare mean to you?
See, that's a very good question. So, you know, I think there are two components to that definition. One, from a medical perspective, you know, quality healthcare means that you want to have, one, access to care. You know, that's what I mean, because you can have the best care out there, but if you can't access it, then what's the point? Number two, you want to basically have good to great care that could easily be provided to everyone. So you don't want to have amazing healthcare that's basically only 1% of the population gets it. You want to have really good standardized care that basically everyone gets. So for me, that's basically quality healthcare. And that honestly applies to both real medical care. For example, I'm a dermatologist. I see patients every day for skin care, for skin cancer, you know, so they come in with a full body skin check. If there's any suspicious moles, we remove it, we do a biopsy, we send it out, we try to diagnose and cure and take care of that skin cancer. So from the medical perspective, that's one important thing, but also from a non-medical, kind of like a cosmetic care, like for example, like healthcare, like hair care, you know, the goal is to give that access to everyone. So it's about, honestly, 2-3 years ago, if you wanted to get a prescription product for hair loss, it was impossible. It's impossible. But what we have done with Happy Head is that we made a website where basically within 5 minutes, you could basically answer several like a questionnaire of your past medical history, upload a photo, and a dermatologist will see you and give you a customized prescription grade solution for your hair loss. And for us, quality healthcare is bridging that gap. And that's what we've done with Happy Head.
It makes a lot of sense. And so you've talked about this a little bit, and I'm looking for, you know, an example of quality healthcare. You've kind of given me some broader spectrum. Is there anything that you can share with me that would be a specific example? You'd say this is really what quality healthcare looks like.
Yes, I will give you actually one of my patients' example that I actually saw in the clinic about 3 months ago. I have a 19-year-old young female adult who actually drove about 3.5 hours to see me. She unfortunately had to have an abortion because she ended up accidentally getting pregnant. I think like the condom broke, and the whole process was really daunting for her and traumatizing for her. And to make the matter worse, she comes from an ethnicity where these things are not talked about at home. And I mean, I think any 19-year-old girl who gets pregnant is scary, but I think in her particular case, she couldn't really even discuss that option with her parents. So her parents actually did not know about this at all. You know, didn't know about the whole situation, the abortion, you know, and it's a trauma for somebody that young. So she ended up going through basically a massive hair shedding, what we refer to as telogen effluvium. I mean, just such a traumatic stress, where she ended up losing, I think, 60-70% of her hair in a matter of like several months. So on top of all that scenario, you now add the hair loss issue, and then your mom comes to the doctor's office with you to figure out what's going on. That's quite traumatic.
Sure.
So, honestly, you know, till a few years ago, actually before COVID, where, you know, this was not possible to get on a call with a hair specialist across the country or, you know, a couple hours away and really discuss that situation. So I think what COVID has kind of made it much easier is that basically telemedicine has really become to the forefront of technology. You know, we have been forced to build technology to cater to patients' needs. And this is a situation where, you know, you could get on a call, you know, probably one of the best doctors in the country and try to figure out what is the best solution for it. So, and this is what I mean by quality healthcare, which means a lot of people could have access to someone where before that was not possible.
Right. And that goes back to your, the number one point that you were making with quality healthcare, it's access. And I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago who was saying that with telemedicine, what you have is not only can patients be seen by specialists around the country, but then you can also harness in their families who may be remote as well. And now you've got everybody all together, literally on the same page with the same, with the doctor all at the same time.
Exactly. Yes.
So what do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
That's a great question. So I'm a dermatologist. I really do two major important things. One, I'm a skin cancer specialist. So I saw one of my patients yesterday, and we're doing a skin check, and she comes in every 6 months, and sadly we have to end up removing a couple moles. And I asked her about her sun exposure history, and she told me that when she was younger, in high school and early college, which is only about till 7 years ago, she would go to a tanning bed 4 times a week.
Wow.
Now, for a dermatologist to hear that, it's kind of like a heart attack. You get a heart attack just because I think for every several sessions, you increase your risk of skin cancer, like a certain percentage. So doing that 4 times a week for a full year or two, that significantly increases the risk of skin cancer. And to my surprise, there's still people that do that. I mean, they do. Now, honestly, I live in LA and I don't see any tanning bed salons anymore, thank God, but they do exist. But, you know, what I always say, look, your skin is your biggest organ. Protect it. You know, we're young, we don't think about it, but, you know, we know more. We know better now. We need to protect our skin because the skin cancer is real. I will tell you, the number of young male and females that could have melanomas on a yearly basis is astonishing. You know, now thank God they come in, we check them, we cut them out. It's great. But, you know, it's scary. The other thing I do is basically I do a lot of hair loss. So the biggest challenge in hair loss is that female hair loss has always been a taboo. And look, Michael Jordan made it very famous to shave your head and move on, you know, for a guy, but not for a female, you know, that's not, you know, so, but what's going on is that that's changing and a lot more females are coming in and basically inquiring about their hair loss, which is great because now basically we're here to help everyone out, you know, so the shame is slowly going away, which is great.
Okay. And it's interesting. I'm assuming that in the past, most of the options that were available to women who were experiencing hair loss, it was, you know, get a wig or do something along those lines. And now you're able to do something that is you're able to provide another option for them with that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. There are topical medications, there are oral medications, there are injections, there are PRPs, stem cells. There's a lot that could be done. But unfortunately, if you never meet the right doctor, those options will never be presented to you. You will just never know about them.
Okay. Just because for my own understanding, you said PRP, which stands for?
Platelet-rich plasma. It's where you take your blood and centrifuge it and take a growth factor to inject it. So right now it's being used for a lot for joints and everything, but now they're doing it for like TMJs. They're doing it basically for hair. So it's a very commonly used procedure. And if done correctly, it could really help patients regain some of the hair back in about 60-70% of the time.
Okay. So help me work through something here, okay? Because I see you on two sides of the same coin. One is people dealing with hair loss and they want to look good. And so they're getting the, you know, dealing with the hair loss and trying to reverse that. The other side, people feel like in order you look better when you have a tan. So it's look good with good hair, but try and figure out how to look good without getting a tan. Can you help me work through that at all? Does that make sense at all?
That's a good question. The answer is right now, although people do look better with a tan, but we should avoid it. That's the simple, you know. I mean, look, there are now like fake tanning creams you could put on. There's a lot of stuff you could do, but really trying to stay away from that tan is really the most ideal thing to do. So I think an ideal person, someone who has a lot of hair, but basically they're not tan. That's really the ideal scenario. But, you know, look, I mean, like, I live in LA. I mean, the thing is that even walking to your car, you're going to – that 5-minute exposure every day, you're going to get some sunlight. There's some things you can't avoid. And sometimes, unfortunately, people live in places like Pittsburgh where it's really – you know, you don't see the sun for 6 months out of the year. So when the sun comes out, you know, you just forget about it. You just want to be in the sun.
Yeah.
I completely get it. I mean, I completely understand, you know. But, you know, there just always has to be like a medium, like a balance, you know, between the two. And, you know, we know for sure that a lot of sun exposure is not good. So the less you expose yourself and the more you cover up and protect your skin, you know, the better you're going to be off in 20, 30 years.
Okay. Do you have any statistics or anything that you can share with me? Because I think about people in Pittsburgh, we love to go to the ocean, right? So during the winter, we're going to go down to Florida. During the summer, you go to the beach in ocean, you know, like in New Jersey or what have you. And most of what you do on vacation is you lay on the beach or you lay around a pool and you soak up the sun. Can you talk about the precautions that people need to take? Is sunblock enough, or is it like just don't do this, or what are your thoughts there?
Great. So the precautions are as follows. So obviously, if you're going to be out there and if you could obviously have a t-shirt on, that's better, believe it or not. I mean, better than not having anything on. Although a t-shirt does not really give you that much of a protection. I think a wet t-shirt is only equivalent to an SPF of a 4. So, which is really not that much. Again, roughly, I don't know the exact numbers, but roughly. The key is to really apply sunscreen. And the trick is to apply it frequently as you can. You know, like if you could do it every hour when you're outside, that's probably the best. Obviously, the areas that you want to protect the most is obviously the face. But, you know, one of the most common areas of melanoma in young female adults is behind the legs. Because when was the last time somebody put sunscreen behind their legs? Mm-hmm. Or you just put a little bit and you forget about it, you know? So, but people, you know, get burned over there. So when you come into a doctor's office, I mean, we check you between your toes, on the soles between the behind your legs. So those are areas that doesn't really get a lot of sun. It doesn't get a lot of sunscreen. So, but the key is to try to wear wide brim hats, wear a lot of sunscreen, apply as frequently as you can. And honestly, with the SPF, the higher number, the better. Okay. Really, really, that's all it is.
Got it. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
Oh, so I think, you know, I think we're finally in healthcare, we're finally reaching a point where technology is actually coming. It's being very well integrated, and it's actually cool to have a kind of like a healthcare tech company, because healthcare is one of those fields where it's just nobody really cares about. But there's like a lot of innovation now that's happening in healthcare, which is great. So telemedicine, I think, is one of the most basic important things, like giving people access. I think that has been one of the most important things in healthcare in the past, honestly, 20 years. However, you know, I think, you know, in the next several years, there's a lot more that could be done remotely. So there are already devices like the Da Vinci. You might not know about it, but these are robots that doctors could operate from other side of the world. Basically, the doctor gets in a, like a small computer chamber, and then basically they could operate a robot literally across the world. And I think what's with the advancement of telemedicine technology, that idea, I think, is going to be a lot more available, where you have physicians basically on the West Coast and they're doing surgeries on the East Coast using robots, you know, which is much more accurate, lower complications, or you could do some things, you know, from here and other countries, you know. So I think that in the next 10 years, that's going to be a lot more prevalent, and it's really going to change medicine. It will be unbelievable.
Okay, and listen, I'm just going to stick up for the physicians over here on the East Coast. What we might have is physicians on the East Coast doing surgeries on the West Coast, because, you know,
that's true. You guys are a couple hours ahead, yeah, you know, so that is correct. So, yes.
It's
funny, because we always, you know, in dermatology, we always say, you know, the way you practice the derm and the East Coast is so different than the West Coast. But it's true, because it's just really two different philosophies, you know. So, but I have a lot of friends on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's all good.
DC and Boston. So, yeah, you know, love them all.
Sure. What is, and this is your last question, what is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
That's a very good question. Honestly, I think one of the biggest things that have made a difference in our practice is that we went fully electronic very early on in our practice. Like, I think we went fully electronic in 2008. And honestly, that has made the biggest difference, because I still know a lot of doctors that have paper charts. And I think with paper charts, I mean, it's great, but I think it's just harder to really sometimes get that information or really share it with your patients. Right now, my patients have access to their medical records. They log in, they see the prescription medications, and you're done, you know? Whereas if you have medical charts, it's just hard to do that, you know? So I think it just makes it easier. Patients make appointment online, you know, they could look at their medication list online, you know, they could chat via text with my assistants, front office staff. It's just one less hurdle, you know, just open access, you know. And I think that in the next 10 years, as that becomes a lot more widely available, you know, patients will have just easier access to the doctors and their own information.
Excellent. And it makes it, as you said, it makes it much easier to share that information between doctors and between medical professionals as well. So wonderful. Dr. Ben Benham, thank you so much for being with me. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate you sharing your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.